step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number, I don't know, 971, something like that. My name is Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by apprentice Derek Burton.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this puppy live at KOOP.org. Don't leave.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
The fairies of the forest were so small, they lived in raindrops. One kiss through a meniscus, and I trembled with delight. That was a good day.
It is Wednesday, April 8th, 2026. On the show today, we have our very dear friends from Filigree Theater, and they're talking about their show, Take Care of My Friend. And later on, we're going to have the Scottish Rite Theater and their show, Junie B. Jones, the musical. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Albuquerque, and Points Northeast. Stick with us.
Addiction, obsession, insomnia, depression.
Derek, you're my co-host again.
My, and it's wonderful.
What do you think of that?
I'm way more excited to be here today than I was last time, now that I had the experience. So that made me pretty happy.
I'm excited to have you here. How was your week?
It was wonderful. Went to the Ren Fair this past weekend.
Renaissance Fair, for those of you who don't know what that means.
Yeah, it was really good. It was very rainy, and realized that that is one of the best times to go out to the Ren Fair. All of the hardcore people are there and having a dang good time. So,
did you have a turkey leg?
I did not, actually. I had ramen.
I think that's... You had ramen?
I had ramen at
the
Ren Fair.
People don't know that in that era, there was a lot of ramen going on. So they had like a turkey leg in one hand and a spoon with chopsticks in the other.
Every time I get the turkey leg, I'm like a quarter of the way through it and I'm regretting my decisions.
Let me introduce the folks that are in here with us. We have Elizabeth Newman. Hello. Wait, you know what? Just for the heck of it, I'm going to turn your microphone on. What do you think of that? Say that again.
I think it's great. Hello.
Hello. There you are. Kathleen Fletcher.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here.
And Ariel Leggett.
Hello.
How are you?
Again.
Am I doing Ariel right?
It's close.
No, what?
Enough.
Say it.
Ariel.
Ariel. Like, yeah, I'm going to do it right. I'll mispronounce it every time. If there's a way to pronounce something wrong, I will do it.
You're our girl.
Yeah. So did y'all recognize that lovely song sung a cappella?
I did not, but I liked it.
I liked it too.
I did not.
You did not like it?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I very much liked it. I did not recognize it.
Well, you better
like
it. That
was the first time.
Actually, it was written by Dave Malloy, and it's from Octet.
Oh.
Go on.
Sorry, I think I knew someone who was in that show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Off-Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2019.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Octet is a beautiful show. Done. It actually takes place in a group therapy session, so it's very apropos of what we're going to be talking about. It's done completely a cappella. It's beautiful. It's something that I had when I heard it in 2019 when it was opening. I called Dave Malloy and said, Ground Floor Theater needs to do it. I don't know if the rights are going to be available because they are making a motion picture, film
Good
adaptation.
For them.
And it is directed by a newcomer on the scene that is just coming up. We're starting to just learn about him. And interestingly enough, he was my guest on the show last week on April Fool's.
Oh, there you go.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, that guy.
That guy.
What was the name again?
I have to look it up.
Oh, okay. Sorry, okay.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. And Malloy is adapting his own book for the musical for the screen version. Which I think is cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful score. I don't know. Is it a score if it's all a cappella? I guess it's still a score, isn't it?
For sure. Vocal score.
What's the score?
What's the score? 8-10.
8-10. That's what I thought. We're winning.
Yeah.
It's March Madness, folks. It's April Madness. Madness. And Magnus. So it's becoming Broadway season. Lots of openings. We had two this week. Can anybody name them? Uh-oh. Yeah. Ariel, come on.
I
count on you for knowing this stuff. All right. Well, I will help you. The first one is Becky Shaw, which I know that we have talked about on this program before, but God darn if I could remember it. When it popped up on my Did They Like It, I went, oh, okay. And I had to remember it. It is a very funny show about a blind date.
Oh.
Written by Gina Gianfrido, which is just a fun name to say.
That's a good name.
So it opened at the Helen Hayes Theater. It opened on the 6th, which was what, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
3 days ago?
Yep.
Monday. The Did They Like It aggregator had 14 reviews. And if you remember last week, we looked at one, I forgot what show it was. Oh, it was Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah, there weren't
opened last
reviews.
Week, and it was like all thumbs down.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It was such a great movie, though.
Yeah, different than the movie, evidently. Mm. This was, out of the 14 reviews, 12 were thumbs up.
Ooh.
And 2 were middle of the road, and okay. No negatives.
That's amazing.
The review in the New York Times is written by Laura Collins Hughes. She made it a critic's pick. And as I said, it was written by Gina Gianfrido. And it is a second stage theater production. And it did. It opened Monday night. I did see it. It says in the review, she says, the cast is terrific. The show moves fast. The many laugh lines land.
Let's go. Couldn't ask for more.
That's what we're hoping for.
Yep.
Yep. And that's what I'm sure you'll get. Off-Broadway, it ran. So it opened in 2009, Off-Broadway.
Wow.
So it took a while to make it in.
Wow.
It's described as a comedy about a blind date gone bad. So it's basically about a pair of friends, male and female friends, that had they had a little soiree, sexual soiree, if you will, and then and everything changed. You know, they said, the guy, of course, said as it was going on, she said, I don't want anything to change. And he said, oh, it'll be fine, baby. And it wasn't.
Classic.
Anyway, so the female person in that pairing is Susanna, played by Lauren Patton. The guy is Max, played by Alden Enreich.
Good
Enreich.
Guess.
I'm going to say Enreich.
Yeah.
In his quote, show-stealing Broadway debut.
Wow.
What a dream.
That's what they said about me on my Broadway debut.
Yes, that's what we still say about
nobody
you.
Nobody played that camel better than Lisa Sheps.
Yes. We're still talking about it.
It's true. Anyway,
and you stole the costume.
So this misadventure that takes place when the show happens months later after that tryst, the woman, Susanna, sets Max up with this blind date for Becky, who is the titular character, who actually, the show is not about Becky, but it's about Max more than, he's more the protagonist. Becky is played by Madeline Brewer. I don't know any of these people.
Mm-mm.
And so if I don't know them, one could ask, do they really exist?
Were they the original cast, you know, of like,
you know what?
The
they didn't say that. Yeah. And I asked myself that question and then I did not do the research to find it out.
I mean, it's a 17-year gap. So I hope it is good for them. Let's get some older actors.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Probably not. 17 years. You do math good.
Thank you. I used to tutor it.
I couldn't afford to tutor it. I could only wonder it.
Ba-dum-bum.
So in the review, she says, the play is interested in the fear and repulsion that can bubble up when we closely look at ourselves or people we love.
Well, okay.
Right. There you go.
Right on the nose.
Rarely do you hear costumes called out in a review, but the costumes were called out as being dead on.
Yes.
Costume designer is Kay Voice. She has a voice in this.
She has
K. I'm good. I love that.
Are the costumes 2009 specific? Or
no, I don't believe it. I believe it takes place. I'm actually just making this up. Nowhere does it say that, but I'm going to go on the right. I'm going to say no, it happens now.
Yeah.
Do it. Make it current.
Let's see. Becky becomes the wrench in the whole works and everybody's relationship. So what was interesting, what started this whole review was talking about the three female characters and how none of them are likable, like zero. Mm-hmm. And she said, don't worry, none of the male characters are likable either.
There you go.
So she ends the review by saying, as a callback, these characters aren't likable at all, yet they do the job so well we don't need them to be.
They're not likable, but you still love them.
Still love them. You love to hate them.
Lovable.
Yeah. Other reviews. Greg Evans of Deadline says Gianfrido's play is needle sharp in the comic pokings and emotional proddings of people who wouldn't recognize their own motivations if their lives depended on it.
Wow.
I can't wait to look at that.
I know. I also want them to do an assessment of my life.
Well, you're coming up. We're going to talk about that. You're next. Adam Feldman of Time Out New York said, Kay Voice's costume design is perfection, and all five actors are first class, including the scene-stealing Linda Edmund as Susie's acidic mother, Susan, who is prone to Lucille Bluth-esque judgments from on high.
It's good for her.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
May she rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Vulture, Sarah Holdren said, Trip Coleman. Oh, I forgot to say, Trip Coleman directed this.
Oh,
thank you, Trip.
Trip Coleman's taut Take No Prisoners production. The pulse is Allegra. The casual tone spiked with gasp-inducing wickedness, which was my sorority name in college.
Yes.
Yeah. Superlative.
Yeah, it's true. So the other show that opened, and it opened two nights ago, I think, I have memories of it. Anybody?
That was a hint.
Cats?
Cats!
Which Jellicle Ball? I hear it's amazing.
Yeah, did anybody see it when it was downtown?
No. I knew people who saw it. Yeah. Sorry to be like, "Mah."
Do you know about this, Derek?
No, not
for me. Have you ever heard of the musical Cats?
I have.
Okay, well have you heard that it's I'm just going to say universally loathed by many people?
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you know that?
Jelly-like? No, I actually didn't.
Yeah,
that's
pretty bad. Yeah. And did you know that they did a movie of it not too long ago?
Honestly, I tried watching that movie and I stopped.
Couldn't.
Yeah.
And they did a movie with the original cast, Betty Buckley and all, which I could not sit through.
Yeah.
So this is a new retelling of it. It opened downtown at the, what's the name of the theater at World Trade Center site? I'll come up with it.
All right.
Anyway, but it reimagines cats. Instead of cats, it's people doing the runway scene. What's his name is in it? Hold on. Oh, I lost his name.
So memorable.
He's memorable. This is bad for me. I figured it out. Andre DeShields. Amazing. This is also a critic's pick. Oh, I didn't say Did They Like It aggregator had 16 reviews this time. Okay. Let's take a guess. How many were positive out of 16?
15.
You say 15. Anybody else?
Seven.
13.
Ooh, 13. No. Kathleen wins.
Yay! Wow. Was it actually 15?
It was.
Damn. Nice.
And one was middle of the road and zero were negative.
Let's go. I hear really amazing things about it, which is why I was betting high.
So want to see
yay.
It.
Yay. Okay.
So this was written by Helen Shaw, the new chief critic. She made it a critic's pick. And she says, quote, Cats, the Jellicle Ball is merely wonderful. The theme is youth. The category is fabulous. The directors, Zylon Livingston and Bill Rausch, along with the dramaturg Josephine Kearns and the choreographer Omari Wiles, have revived and reappraised, not to say rescued, Andrew Lloyd Webber's 1981 musical Cats by shifting it out of the wastelands of London, its alleyways, and into New York's queer ballroom scene.
So good.
Yeah. I know. Thank you.
Where it's meant
Y'all
to be.
Y'all couldn't see Ariel, but she had a... Well, you'll see it. You'll watch the YouTube of this and you'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Although I should take this moment to apologize to people that are trying to listen to us on the terrestrial radio. That's the FM waves. Our transmitter is currently down. So if you're listening on the web stream or you're listening to it on the podcast, you're just fine. Okay. You're going, what the heck is she talking about?
Oh, that's my husband. He's out there listening.
Yeah. Well, on the computer?
On the web.
Okay,
because
cool.
Because we were like, where do we
What's your husband's
name?
Again?
Josh.
Hi, Josh. Let's shout out to Josh.
Josh is wonderful.
Wait. Just a second here. Josh Groban is your husband?
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to keep it a secret. But,
that's amazing. He won me over with Natasha
Pierre.
He is a
musician, though. Love you, Josh. Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Okay, here's another quiz. And Kathleen, I'm betting on you for this one.
Oh.
How long did the original Cats run on Broadway?
Oh. 17? I definitely saw it as a kid.
You saw it?
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to say it was at the Winter Garden Theater.
It was at the Winter Garden Theater forever.
Exactly. So 1981, well, definitely went. I'm going to say till like.
We have all day.
Let's just make some more dead air.
We don't have to talk about anything else. Just this.
At least 1996 to 98. Would be my guess.
I was gonna guess 17.
Okay, and you said 17.
Yeah,
Derek.
That was just a callback.
So what's that? Like 21 years?
It's still running. It's running right now.
That's impressive for something.
Please don't let it be running now. It ran for 18 years, so y'all are good.
All right.
Yeah.
High five. Neighborhood.
Yeah. Wow.
That's pretty amazing. And so I lived in New York for 20 years. Most of my time in New York, that was running. Guess how many times I saw it?
Zero.
Yeah, it was like Chorus Line was forever.
Chorus Line was forever. And I did not see, and people that know this show, I did not see Chorus Line until like maybe a year before it closed.
Yeah.
And that's, honey, that show was so tired when I saw it.
Yeah.
It was like,
pick me or not.
And I have not seen a live production of it since, and I really want to. What's interesting is they did not change the text of this at all. The text remains the same, and I did not realize that. The person that played Rum Tum Tugger is a scene-stealing Sidney James Harcourt. Mm. And the choreographers had combinations made from voguing's primary components. So I'm going to say the component. You tell me if you know what it is. Duck walking.
Oh, yes. I'm doing it right now.
Okay,
I'd be crouched down further.
Bouncing in a deep crouch. Okay.
Yes.
Arms.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, voguing. We all know what that is. Thank you, Madonna.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who stole that. And death-defying
dips.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Little death drop.
Yep. Little death drop.
Yeah.
I also like punching the ghost.
Ooh. What's punching the ghost? Do it. Oh, okay.
It's the little hand going out.
Oh, okay,
and you, like,
yeah.
Do a little draw. You turn in a circle.
All right, and then I'm going to read this this paragraph as she wrote it in verbatim because it's kind of good. It talks about the elders of the show that it focuses on. And that is, wait, am I telling you the right thing? Yes, I am. But then just a few songs from the end of the first act, Andre DeShields arrives as Jellicle's God King, Old Deuteronomy. The wig designer Nakia Mathias gives DeShields a lion's rippling mane, and costume designer Queen Jean dresses him up in various purple splendor, a lavender taffeta gown, eggplant flares, and a soup in deep plum. His gorgeous performance is really a collaboration with Queen Jean's increasingly sumptuous clothes. And it's a pageant honoring its three elders, DeShields. And then there's the Junior LaBeija. Does anybody know this person? Is mm-hmm. elder in the queer community. I don't know them. An actor lost in reverie who plays an actor lost in reverie. He was in Paris is Burning.
Ooh.
So that was in the 60s or late 60s, early 70s. And then Chastity Moore, who plays the washed up beauty queen, Grisabella.
Who has that memorable song.
Memories. Like the corners of my mind. That's a different
one. That is, but still memories.
Memories. And actually, the original memory singer, oh my God, I lost her name. I hate getting old. Anyway, she commented on this. Anyway, also she says the original Cats may have been a bit fluffy in its meaning department, but Cats Jellicle Ball is thinking about legacy and structures of care that emerge from intergenerational performance.
Oh, no.
And they made it with their casting choices.
They did.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Other critics that I know you want to hear from is Deadline's Greg Edvins again. Says directors Gian Livingston and Bill Rauch have made sure to pay joyous, respectful homage not only to the original musical, but to the ball culture that receives its well-deserved Broadway spotlight from casting to visual design. Shaina Russell of Entertainment Weekly said, through it all, there's an euphoric energy pulsing through the theater. And finally, The Wrap's Tom Hoffler said, only when William Waldrop's orchestrations riff by imposing a bump, stomp, and grind rhythm to the original score does this cat spring alive to grow painted claws.
Love it.
Want to see it.
Me too. Let's go.
Let's go. Yep. I almost remember the name of the original theater that's at the, it's in the World Trade Center site. Nobody, nobody.
No, I'm
okay.
Sorry.
All right.
But I'm glad it's still downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's downtown.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, in New York, downtown is a direction, not a place.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
When you're alone and things are getting you down. Okay, so let's go into other stuff. Here's so can anybody do
Yes.
Law and Order.
Bum, bum.
Okay, wait, I'll cue you. Okay, ready? Okay, here comes our next item.
Bum, bum.
We're having fun. I didn't even know this. Has everybody heard of Broadway Across America?
Yes.
Okay, that is the organization that brings Broadway shows to the Bath Concert Hall, amongst others. Did you know that they were being... before I say anything about this... I just need to let our audience know that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of co-op, its board of directors, staff, underwriters, people walking down the street, people walking in the door. It's just our opinion. So get off our back.
Yeah. Yeah. And get on my hip.
Yeah.
So the Justice Department was investigating them a year long into anti-competitive practices. Because they had an agreement with another company, Chong Chong. They did not name it, but it is actually, where'd it go? ATG Entertainment. They did not name that, but they made agreements where they would bring shows and not bring shows with this other company. And this other company owns, keep it Texas, they own the Majestic Theater in San Antonio.
Oh, wow. Which is a beautiful theater.
It is a gorgeous theater. Yeah. It's one of my favorites to go to.
Me too.
So the U.S. antitrust law prohibits companies from slicing up their pie. Limits competition. Uh-huh. Yeah. So they dropped this suit, evidently, because they agreed not to do that anymore. But what's interesting is talking about the touring market, which is made up of not only equity tours, but also non-equity tours. Most of them are union tours. Yeah. But they've gone to 145 cities across the United States, and they cost $1.3 billion to launch and operate.
Dang.
Wow.
We've got that money.
Wow. Well, I mean, just think about what that interjects into an economy. So locally, we're actually here in Austin with Broadway in Austin. We're starting to get the A-list shows now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's usually about between 6 and 8 shows a season.
Yeah.
So think what that brings into us.
Yeah, that's great.
Absolutely.
That's okay. And currently, or up next in 2 weeks, is Mamma Mia.
Here I go again.
It's called Mamma Mia.
Heard of her?
I haven't heard of her. All right, we're out of time. Let's see what
show
don't
is
we want
over.
To talk about. Here's, I'll just wrap through some quickies. Everybody loved the musical Six?
Yes.
I liked, I don't call it a musical. I call it a concert.
Yeah. It felt like a concert.
Yeah, it's a concert. They filmed it in the UK, and it's coming to theaters.
Yes.
Soon. I also wanted to talk about a little bit about how orchestra pits have changed over the years.
Ooh.
And how so often, and I think Zach Theater is a really good example of this. Mm. They built that beautiful orchestra pit in the Topfer Theater and they never use it.
Yeah.
It's the orchestra's always in some other room.
Yeah.
And that's more and more the case. They were talking about, I forgot what show it was, that in this one show, a good portion of the orchestra was in the pit. The drummers were in on the sixth floor in another room.
Oh, my goodness.
But even they were talking about the cello player could not see the conductor because there was a big, like, foam, like, if you think of a ball pit made of foam, because an actor took a dive in there during the show.
Wow.
So oftentimes they are using the pit for other things. And I'm sort of, we have like 1 minute to talk about this, but I am so of mixed emotions about this.
Yeah.
What frustrates me when I go see a show at the Zac is that you never hear the orchestra acoustically.
Yeah.
Ever. It's always comes from amplification because of where mm-hmm. they do it.
Yeah.
And that's an advent of this. I mean, yeah. Zac uses that part of the stage for staging.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How do y'all think about it?
I love at the Long Center when the ballet is at the Long Center. And you know, when Peter Bay, the conductor, comes on, there's the applause, the musicians, the strings raise their bows. You know, we feel like the music is very much, and the musicians are with us, and it's very much part of the performance, not something pushed to the side.
Yeah, agreed.
It's such a treat to have live music
Absolutely.
As part of a performance and to actually be able to, and then like the little kids get to look down and peek into, hear the orchestra warming up, which is one of my favorite sounds in the world is the sound of an orchestra warming up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Okay, that's my.
Derek, do you see many musicals?
I see a lot of live music, and I have seen enough that have had a live orchestra that is one of the draws to going there.
Yeah.
I love going to the symphony or anything else, and to that getting that experience of live music playing in the same room as you is different than coming through the speakers.
For
it is
sure.
all-encompassing. You feel it differently.
Yeah, I'm bummed when I have seats that you can't really see much of the orchestra picks. I'm like, oh, man, I love watching them, or, you know.
They're performing as well, right? They're dancing with the music and their instruments, and it's beautiful to watch that in concert with a show as well. So
it really is.
Bring it back.
The final thing we're going to talk about is because we were just talking about Jason Robert Brown.
We were just I was going to bring in Parade, by the way.
Oh, you were.
I was. Well, I was going to be
like, have you seen Parade before?
I haven't, but I've been in it.
Yeah. I've seen it. It was great.
It was great.
That was fabulous.
So another show the Ground Floor Theater did was The Last 5 Years,
yes.
Also written by Jason Robert Brown. And there was a concert version that it's over
yes.
with Ben Platt and
Nicole
Scherzinger.
That's right, yes.
Rachel Zegler.
Yeah. I almost said Nicole Scherzinger, but Rachel Zegler. Same thing. I've never seen them in the same room at the same time.
So why not? Good point.
But it played the London Palladium, and they recorded that on April 20th.
Oh, yes. That's right.
And it also played... the Hollywood Bowl,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and it just played 2 days ago, April 6th and 7th at Radio City.
Yes.
So I saw little bits and pieces of it,
yeah.
And I was hoping to have a recording of it, but it's not yet, but they're going to release that in the next week or so,
Ooh,
I think.
I can't wait for that.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah.
Give the people what they want. So let's go back and listen to the 2013 revival with Adam Cantor and Betsy Wolfe. And this is Betsy Wolfe singing one of my favorite songs from that show, Summer in Ohio.
Ugh.
We will be right back.
I could shove an ice pick in my eye. I could eat some fish.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Derek. And now we're going to reintroduce our guests for the real reason why they came here, which is to talk about their show. Which is Take Care of My Friend. And we have the director and artistic director and founder of Filigree Theater, Elizabeth Newman.
Hello.
We have the writer,
star and performer
of this show, Kathleen Fletcher.
Hey.
And we have a fellow performer, Arielle Leggett. Welcome. Yay.
Yay.
When I saw your name, that's exactly what I said.
Yay.
And you, Arielle, you should know that you're... Every time, and I don't do this often, every time I go into Facebook, your picture pops up every single time.
They want us to be
they
friends.
Want us to be friends.
Well, I guess we better listen.
Yeah,
give the people what they want.
Yeah.
So, Kathleen, you wrote this show, and it is autobiographical.
It is autobiographical, yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, I'll give you the little, like, this is what I tell everybody, which is that it's a...
Wait a second.
Yes?
You're going to give me the same spiel you give everybody?
Well, I will include a little bit of trivia for you. I want Lisa to know this. Well, one, Megan Thornton from Ground Floor Theater, she is an amazing person who was the one to say, it's a heavy comedy to me.
Yep.
So I've been like, oh yeah, it's a heavy comedy. And it chronicles my treatment for third degree burns when I was hospitalized, to my treatment for severe depression and OCD when I was in a partial hospitalization program. Yeah. And I say all this and I'm like, but it's funny. People laugh, please. That's not a call to action. I mean, like, people laugh.
I'm laughing.
Please.
Well, it's kind of trite to say, but it's a bit of merit saying that's a very brave step. And not only to write it, but you are performing it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, people have said that it's very brave. Which feels a little funny because it's like, well, I'm really doing it because I want to make connections with people. And I think it's not just my story. Like, it truly is a lot of people's story, which is, I think, part of why it's like going out on a limb feels fine, because people are going to watch it and say, that's me.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what we need to do is try to peel that stigma away from mental health.
Absolutely. And there are some heavy themes that we talk about.
Some HTs, heavy themes,
mm-hmm. Which I don't know if it's okay to say some of the heavy themes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So we talk about suicide ideation and self-harm. And I do want people to know that, so they kind of know what they're getting
100%.
Into. And when I've spoken to people about it before, some of their reactions is like, I have suicide ideation. I've never seen that portrayed on stage, and it's not ever really portrayed in film. And so how impactful to have it be coming from someone firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, you directed a shorter version of this for Frontera Fest. And from that, you decided this would be perfect for Filigree's 7th season. So tell us about that. Tell us about that experience of directing it and your decision to do it here. This is your 3rd show of the season.
Yes, it's our 3rd show.
Get right up on that microphone.
It's our 3rd show, which means it's a world premiere. Our spring shows always are. And Kathleen and I worked together on the 20-minute version of this, which was really just sort of the first chapter of the larger piece, which deals with Kathleen's recovery from an experience of recovering from third-degree burns and sort of the life lessons that taught her, and sort of like part one of the larger story. Every season, Filigree has an overarching theme. This season, it's body and soul. And I thought, and Kathleen and I talked about it, and this play, well, Kathleen calls it a heavy comedy. I call it a drama, but it's told with such, because it does deal with the heavy themes. I don't want, and the way the tone is so beautiful that it really deals with serious material, but with such love and grace and like good humor, not snarky humor, not making light of the themes in any sort of kind of crass or snarky kind of way. It just it sits in the beauty of like how we help each other through painful moments. And so for me, that it's really it. It resonates, and how we all take care of each other, and how we can help each other through. And speaking of which, it is Kathleen's autobiographical piece, but with an incredible ensemble of actors who all wear so many hats. Ariel is one of them, and it is such a this cast. Well, it is written non-gender specific for the ensemble of 5 actors. This production is all women, and it is a beautiful, there's so much heart up on stage.
Well, that couldn't be a better segue, because Kathleen, you're obviously playing the lead role. You're playing yourself.
I'm playing myself.
Yeah. How's that?
You know, it's fine. I don't usually act in shows that I've written, because I love so much to see what other people will bring to it. But it felt like, you know, this is the city where I live, and I don't want people to be like, oh, that person's playing Kathleen. That's not how I know Kathleen. So to come out and be able to, you know.
That's what I'm going to do. I know Kathleen.
You're Kathleen. But to have that experience of like saying these words that I've written and that I've felt has been interesting. And like, catching myself in moments where it's like stunning to say some of these things that I have never really said out loud before, and how cathartic that is.
Yeah. Arielle, tell us about the role that you play in this piece.
Yeah, I'm very honored to get to play therapist number 1, 2, and 3. They have names.
Wow.
Among one of the intrusive thoughts, among just ensemble member, but knowing Kathleen, and I can definitely say, I mean, it is such a, you said it's a lot of heart, but it really is just so vulnerable and honest. And I feel like throughout this rehearsal process, I feel more connected to other people, to just humans in general, because day in and day out, we're speaking this, you know, on our breath. It's just, it's so vulnerable and beautiful. But I do get to take little bits of my favorite therapists of my own experience and imbue them into therapist Rosalie, therapist Clove, therapist Nina, and helping, you know, Kathleen through the journey of self-discovery.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Do you have a couch?
I do.
Can I lay down?
Y'all are going to do a little piece from the show, correct?
We are, yes.
Does somebody want to set the scene up for us?
So this scene takes place, the story starts with Kathleen in New York, and then moves back to Austin. Oh. And this is early on in her move back to Austin, and she is meeting a new therapist.
Okay, wonderful. This is Kathleen Fletcher and Arielle Leggett doing a scene from Filigree Theater's production of Take Care of My Friend.
In November of 2022, after recounting a flight I went on and talking through all the little rituals I'd done on flights for the last 20 years, therapist Rosalie asked,
"Do you have OCD?"
"I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious."
Cute.
I can't take credit for that. It's from the office. But no, I don't think I have OCD.
Hmm. You don't?
No. I've seen As Good As It Gets. I'm like the opposite of clean.
I'm sorry, is that a movie?
Yeah, it's the one with Jack Nicholson, and he's obsessive about washing his hands. He has hundreds of boxes of soap in his apartment, and he has to bring his own cutlery when eating out. I definitely don't have hundreds of boxes of soap in my bathroom. You should see the disgusting things I have to do.
Like what?
Like lick the ground or subway poles when I was in New York.
Well, why did you do that?
To keep people safe. If I didn't do that, then people would get hurt.
Why don't we take an assessment?
Okay. Not sure we'll find anything. I mean, I'm really, really not afraid of germs, but okay.
Amazing. Wow. That's a heavy comedy.
It's a heavy comedy. I will say, I was like, I'll give you a little trivia. There is something I did at Ground Floor Theater many, many times that is comes up in the show.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Anything else? You want to elaborate on that, or is that it?
It comes up a lot in the show, so it's kind of one of those like Easter egg things.
I'll see it.
If one knows,
and
then one
I plan to come and see it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what it is.
So I have one more question, then we have to go because we're running out of time. Elizabeth, you are directing a piece that was written by your lead actor.
Yeah.
Actually, this is for both of you. How is that? Coming from one director to another, I'd be interested in it because that's daunting and scary.
It is and it isn't, because it's with
Kathleen.
And we've talked a lot. Before we even started working on the project, we talked through it a lot that for me, there is Kathleen, the real person who has had all these experiences. And then there is Kathleen, the playwright, who I speak to about the script. And then there is Kathleen, the wonderful actor, playing the character of Kathleen. And so sort of shifting gears a little bit from one to the other, we had Frontera Fest was a little bit of, we were able to sort of dip our toes into that process of working. And I think it just is with communication and trust and checking in. And it's truly an honor and a privilege to be able to tell this story and to put it on its, you know, this beautiful work on the page, to put it on its feet. I am tearing up just a little bit with Kathleen and with our amazing ensemble of characters who populate the world of Kathleen's journey, of the character Kathleen's journey, which is also Kathleen's journey.
Yeah.
So Interesting question. I did, now that I'm thinking about it, I did direct a show that was based on a true story, and the writer was in the room, and the person it was based on was actually one of my actors in it. But I spent a lot of time saying, you know, because we fictionalized it. Mm-hmm. And I, as director, wanted to make it work for the audience, which didn't necessarily coincide with what actually happened.
Yeah.
So we had those kinds of things. Was there any of that that y'all dealt with? Was there any pieces that you looked at and said, I know this isn't the way it worked in real life, but this is will make a little bit more interesting theater?
Actually, I don't mean to be like, but there's some, like, I love Elizabeth as a playwright, as an actor. She's so wonderful. And I love our cast. And I was talking to Arielle earlier today where I was like, you know what? This staging that as a playwright I would have never envisioned is actually really accurate at capturing that feeling. And in experiencing doing some of that staging, it's like, this is it. This is what it feels like. And how cool for people to be able to see something that's so internal.
That's cool. We are completely out of time. You're about to open, aren't you? When do you open?
Yeah, we open on Friday.
Friday the 10th?
Friday, April 10th.
Yep. And how long do you play?
We run through Saturday, April 25th at Hyde Park Theater.
At Hyde Park, yeah.
Which amazing. Is where we were for Frontera Fest, actually.
That's true.
Short version. So, yeah.
Same, using the same stage. Set?
Nope.
And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
To the website, filigreetheater.com.
Thank y'all so much for coming on the show.
Love you, Lisa.
Yeah, I love y'all too. All right, that was Elizabeth Newman, Kathleen Fletcher, and Arielle Leggette. Filigree Theater's Take Care of My Plant. Excuse me. Take Care of My Friend, playing April 10th through the 25th at Hyde Park Theater. For more information, you may visit filigreetheater.com. And this is from Be More Chill, which deals with mental health. And this is called Voices in My Head. We'll be right back.
There are voices in my ear. I guess
we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Derek. We're going to go through our local section pretty quickly. Do you remember how we did it?
I think so.
Okay. So I'm going to start. This is the stuff that's playing now. We're going to be opening soon. Let's see. We have Zach Theater. They've got three shows. Zapata, a folklorico superhero musical that's playing through April 26th. They also have Charlotte's Web playing through May 17th. And then Dear Evan Hansen is playing through May 17th as well.
Awesome. And at the stage, Austin, The Game's Afoot will be playing through April 11th.
Oops, sorry. I was doing other stuff. Austin Rainbow Theater, the final weekend for Hedwig and the Angry Inch. It plays through the 11th at Ground Floor Theater.
And at the City Theater, Men on Boats through April 12th.
And Inspired Minds out in Buda has High School Musical, plays April 9th through the 12th.
And one that was mentioned earlier, Broadway in Austin, has Mamma Mia playing through April 14th through the 19th.
Yeah, and there's The Hidden Room playing the Fire Raisers from April 2nd, which has already happened, to the 19th. And that's Mary Moody Northern Theater.
There we go, because I was going to think it was a Ninja Turtles reference. MMNT, they'll be having Little Women from April 18th through the 26th.
Which I am looking forward to seeing. Vortex Theater, they were on the show last week, has The Happiness Gym, plays through the 19th.
And at the UT Department of Theater and Dance, Ain't No Mo, from April 9th through the 19th.
Auditions are really just the Cold Frame Collective. They have The Servant of Two Masters. I'm going to blast through today in theater history because there's a lot of stuff. I'm going to start with birthdays. Michael Bennett, Fred Ebb, Stephanie Page, E.Y. Harburg. People know him as Yip Harburg. Anne Hould Ward. Don't know who that is, but happy birthday. And Mary Pickford. All birthdays. Shows that opened on this date. Carmelina. 1979, Leader of the Pack opened in 85, Aspects of Love, 1990, Five Guys Named Mo, 92, Macbeth, yes, I said it, in 2008, Stephen Sondheim's Old Friends opened in 2025, The Addams Family opened in 2010, Mean Girls opened in 2018, and in 2015 was a revival of Gigi. And I want to take very little time talking about the problematic nature of this show. It is about a young girl who is being groomed to be a prostitute. And so it surprised me when they revived it in 2015. They did change it a little bit. People might be familiar with the 1958 movie starring Maurice Chevalier, among others, when he sang Thank Heaven for Little Girls, which has got a lot of creep factor in it these days. Well, in the 2015, they didn't fix everything, evidently, but they did, you know, fix stuff. Instead of Maurice Chevalier, you had a woman, Victoria Clark, and Vanessa Hudgens was in it. We're going to play Thank Heaven for Little Girls, sung by Victoria Clark and Dee Holly. We will be right back.
Thank heaven for little girls.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Derek. We're on KOOP, but not on 91.7 right now.
Not today.
No, the transmitter is down, but you guys on the web and on the podcast, you guys get to hear us. Let's introduce our next set of guests from the Scottish Rite Theater and their show, Junie B. Jones, the musical. We have playing Junie, Chelsea Lane.
Hi.
Hi. Playing May is Lexi Williams.
Hello.
Playing Lucille is Emily Taylor.
Hello.
And Mr. Scary, which was my sorority name in college, is Avi Gottlieb. So one of you, y'all are all actors in the show. This is playing at the Scottish Rite. You've already opened, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Tell us about the show. Somebody want to tell us what the show is?
Chelsea.
Go for it.
Go, Chelsea.
I guess Junie B should. It's a really fun show. Junie B is starting first grade, and it's all about her journal that year and all the adventures she has and filling it up and the chaos that consumes that is a bunch of first graders trying to get through a school year.
Boy, I have such vivid memories of that time.
With lots of breakouts and songs, so.
Yeah, so how? Tell us about the music. Is it fun? I'm guessing it is.
Yeah, actually, one of the things we've talked about throughout the entire process is how fun kids' musicals soundtracks are. Like, it is just so fun. It's thrilling to hear the music because it's so upbeat, it's so live, it's there to catch your attention, and that's the point of musical theater, of course. So it was very fun and strangely so hard to learn too.
Yeah. So for those people that don't like those really long and boring songs that are I lost a word again, What's the opposite of an up-tempo ballad?
Yeah.
Then this is the show for you.
Yes.
Yeah. No ballads, pretty much.
Yeah, no ballads. Are y'all singing to a track or are you singing to a live orchestra?
It's a track, but it's actually okay, a really
you for
high
being
quality
on the show.
Track.
Of course it's a high quality track. I wouldn't expect it. Anything else? Well, tell us about Junie B. Tell us about the character.
Yeah, she is feisty, sassy. In some of her books can be a little bit on the more meaner side. And in this one, she's actually the one getting bullied a lot in the show. And so it's kind of showing her vulnerability and how she handles that. And, she's just a really fun character to play. Mr. Scary here, Avi, also plays my father in it.
Okay.
So you get to see some different characters too. Some people are playing multiple things, which is fun.
Three characters.
Three characters.
Sorry.
Don't forget Mr. Wu, the all-important bus driver.
You can never forget the bus driver. So she's energy. She's like a 15 at all times on a scale of 1 to 10. So
Junie is in first grade, mm-hmm. and that's 6 years old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You look slightly older than six.
Oh, I do. Thank
yeah.
you.
So how is it playing a six-year-old? I would just guess it's like a bunch of fun.
It's so much fun. So I actually have two daughters that are almost six and almost eight. So like they're right in the middle of it. And I've literally like asked my six-year-old like, hey, can you stand up on that chair for me? Just to see like how she gets up, how she sits down. But the biggest thing I take away from it is there's not a lot of opportunities for adults to be silly and to move their bodies like kids do. And so it's been a really cool and freeing experience. And I would just say anyone, find a way to just run through the park like a kid and find ways to just like go back there mentally. And it's really fun.
I should say to my audience, since this is radio, that Chelsea does not look particularly old. Just so you know, I wasn't going there.
It's okay.
But she looks older than six.
I have children that are six.
There you go. That's the dead giveaway right there. Yeah. Emily and Lexi, are y'all also playing kids?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, nodding doesn't work on the radio.
Yeah, we are. We're both playing kids. We're, 6 to 7 year olds. And it was a lot of fun to just get to play. It just felt like a whole group of neurodivergent of adults who are just sitting there pretending to be children. And it's been so much fun.
Yes. And me and Emily have especially fun tracks because I wouldn't say Emily's mean, but we both play the mean girls.
Oh, okay.
So it's something different. I mean, I've played a child before. I'm 4'10", so I expect to do that a lot. But I've never got to play the mean kid, and it's kind of hard. But I mean, it's definitely something different for us, I think.
Oh, definitely. Playing the mean kid is not an experience I usually get to do. I play a lot of villains, but usually adult villains, not mean children.
Right. Yeah.
I'm playing three characters, not a single child. So I don't know what you're talking about as far as the fun of being a child. That hasn't been my experience.
Avi, you seem bitter.
Very bitter man. Mr. Scary is a very bitter man. No, not at all.
So Avi, you play Mr. Scary, and we've learned that you play the bus driver.
Yes.
I have a question that maybe you can answer in your research.
Sure.
Do the wheels on the bus go round and round?
You would think that.
Right.
But actually, the bus driver has been a highlight for me. There's some comedy there for sure. But it's just been an absolute blast. And these castmates of mine have been absolutely amazing. Just wonderful human beings. We're having a blast.
So y'all, this is obviously you're playing, I'm assuming, to school kids.
Yes.
We've talked about, I don't know with the Scottish Rite, but we've talked about to other people doing theater for young audience to school kids and how much fun that is and how much I enjoyed when I was doing that back in my life. We would, as the cast, stand after the show. And how's that for you guys? And do y'all get called out as being the mean girls from the kids? Do they get mad at you?
Shockingly, they actually... It's been a few quieter crowds, but today we actually had some kids relating with us.
They joined in as we were bullying.
Oh, there you go.
I would call it heckling.
Open the doors for them.
Junie had to go, hey, I'm sad here today.
But I like to think if they're agreeing with my character, May, then maybe they'll go home and think about that a little bit and learn from it. Because that's the point of a show.
Yes. It's
for kids to learn. So, I mean, even that's okay.
100%. And so the houses, I'm assuming, are good, but adults will like this as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a really fun show for pretty much all ages. And I think it has some poignant things that adults maybe forget as we get older. And getting to see it this way, it makes you remember what that time of your life was like and how you can still be learning from that time of your life.
And speaking of my age, I read Junie B. Jones when I was a kid. And so it's actually really cool now, a lot of the during the meet and greets when the moms are bringing by their daughters who have probably not read the book quite yet or are just starting to read them. The moms are like, I think I'm more excited than she is. I read every single one of your books, Junie, and I was so excited to see the show today. So it's cool to find a kid's show that is also like kind of nostalgic for the adults because that doesn't happen a lot.
Wonderful. Yeah. I have a controversial question. What does the B stand for?
The B stands for Beatrice, except I don't like Beatrice.
Okay, I told you it was controversial. Everybody should pay attention to my disclaimer before. No hate mail. Well, so are all the shows open to public or only certain shows open to non-school kids?
On Saturdays and Sundays, we have shows at 11 and 1, and those are all open to the public.
Amazing. You're open now. How long do you play?
May 10th is our closing.
May 10th. Well, wonderful. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
The Scottish Rite website, which I believe is scottishrite.org.
scottishritetheater.org. And theater is spelled incorrectly with an E-R at
it
the
is.
End. Well, good. Amazing. Well, thank you all for being on the show. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Best of luck for the rest of the run.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful. That was Chelsea Lane, Lexi Williams, Emily Taylor, and Avi Gottlieb of Scottish Rite Theatre's Junie B. Jones, the musical, playing now through May 10th at the Scottish Rite Theatre. For more information, ScottishRiteTheatreER.org. And from Junie B. Jones, let's listen to Now I See. We'll be right back.
Now I see.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Derek. Derek, it's your final Offstage and on the Air. Thoughts?
I hope not. I would love to come visit you again sometime.
You absolutely can, but this is your final official one.
Yeah, the official ones. But yeah, this has been absolutely fantastic. I love the energy that you bring to the show. I love the energy in the room when there's a bunch of people in here, especially in the theater space, and learning a lot about theater while I'm here. So,
And I'm just feeding off the energy of the other people. Normally, I'm very mild-mannered.
Stop it.
Well, good. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. You've been a great co-host.
Thank you.
We typically don't ask our apprentices to co-host, but you did such a good job, I didn't bother getting a guest co-host this time. So, Nicole, watch out. Your job is
coming
in
for you,
trouble.
Nicole.
It's in jeopardy.
Therapy.
Therapy and jeopardy. Jeopardy. Well, great. Wonderful. Thanks for helping out.
My pleasure.
We're going to go out with... a show from the new version of Chess that's about to, has not been released yet. This is the Erin Tveit and, oh God, I just forgot her real name. She played Rachel on Glee.
She who shall remain unnamed.
She who shall remain unnamed. Everybody will call me and tell me because it's a very well-known name. We're going to be playing a song from that. But in the meantime, stand by for Tracy Schultz. He's going to tell you what's new because his show is called What's New. So let's listen to Pity the Child from Chess. This is Erin Tveit. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
When I was 9, I learned survival, taught myself not to care. I was my single good companion, taking my comfort there. Up in my room, I plan my conquests on my own, never asked for a helping hand.